إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We give thanks to Almighty Allah who has made it possible to witness yet another Ramadan and to converge in this mosque that is located at the premises of Islamic Learning Center, Katur Road, Kaduna. Today, being Saturday, 15th of Ramadan, after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina, which is equivalent to 10th of June 2017. The topic I was asked to make presentation on is churches and mosques, or protection of churches and mosques in Islam. But when I look at the topic, I felt the topic sounds too apologetic. And not only too apologetic, in Islam, it is not just about churches and mosques, but about places of worship. And as we know, there are other places of worship than mosques and churches. I therefore decided to reframe the topic, of course, without allowing any of this essence to get lost. And the new topic is Islam and places of worship. Islam and places of worship. Now, it is important to remind us that since the beginning of human history, places of worship have played a central role in people's lives. In Islam, worship is an all-inclusive term. It refers to all internal and external sayings and actions of a person that are beloved and pleasing to Allah. So any act or statement, internal or external, that is done for Allah's sake, and that which
Allah loves and is pleased with, that is called worship. Worship is important to a Muslim because it draws him nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It enriches and develops his soul. It prepares him for the life to come. And it embodies every possible means of individual and social reform. This is in addition to the fact that the main objective for which mankind and jinns are created is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The specific place for worship, or specific place of worship for Muslims, is the mosque. Alhamdulillah, we are having this lecture in one of the mosques that are here in Kaduna. A mosque is an important symbolic place for a Muslim where various acts of worship are conducted. Social and political issues are discussed, and knowledge and moral values are taught. So we can see from this that the role of mosque in Islam is far beyond serving as a place in which or at which Muslims will congregate to offer prayers. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mosque serves as the main center for all Islamic activity. It serves as a place for prayer, a school of knowledge, the seat of government, a treasury from which charity work was done, a war room where decisions and planning for wars were made, a place for giving da'wah to non-Muslims who love Islam, a clinic for the treatment of the injured and sick, and a home for the care of the needy and orphans. These are some of the functions that mosque serve or perform during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time of the caliphs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and even those that came after them. Even though during the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, before Uthman ibn Affan, a stand-alone school was opened for the children of Muslims to learn or to attend. But still, the important role of mosque as an educational center continues to be seen throughout the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, because the Sahaba and the Tabi'un will come to the mosque to ask or to study Quran and Hadith, to ask about the rulings of certain issues, and so on and so forth. But for the children of Muslims, a special school was opened just very close to the mosque, where hundreds of children used to attend lessons as the first Islamic center or Islamia school opened in the history of Islamic civilization. In view of its importance and the role it plays in societies, mosque as a place of worship for Muslims
was mentioned in the Quran in 18 places. That suggests how important a mosque is in Islamic or Muslim society. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribes mosque to himself, that it is his own house. Mosques are for Allah. In Surah Al-Jin, verse 18, Allah says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. And mosques are for Allah. In Surah Al-Tawbah, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Those that maintain the mosques of Allah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي حَسْمُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَجِهَا. Who is more wrong than he who is more oppressive than he who prevents that the name of Allah be mentioned in his mosque and go on trying to destroy or demolish the mosque of Allah? So even in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribes mosque to himself. And whatever Allah will ascribe to himself will certainly be something that is worthy, very important, of significance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also describes mosque as the most beloved building for Allah on earth. The most beloved, the most attractive, the most beautiful building in the sight of Allah on this earth are the mosque. And those, a comfortable place for any Allah-fearing person to find comfort in staying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith reported by the Imam Muslim, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The most beloved places, the most beloved, the most desirous or desirable buildings in the sight of Allah on this earth are the mosques. In another hadith reported by Abu Nu'aym in his Hilya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Masjidu Baytu Kulli Taqeen. Mosques are a comfortable place for every Allah fearing person. Anybody that has taqwa will find solace, comfort and convenience in staying in a mosque. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders that mosques should be raised and his name be mentioned in it. In Surah An-Nur, verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعْ وَيُذْكَرَ فِي حَسْمُهُ يُصَدِّهُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْقُدُوِّ وَالْعَصَارِ. In houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders that it should be raised and his name be mentioned in it, so they will glorify him morning and evening. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the reward for building mosque for Allah's sake very, very attractive. In a hadith reported by Al-Imam Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا مِنْ مَالِهِ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever built a mosque for Allah from his wealth,
Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. In another hadith reported by Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Man bana lillahi masjidan sagiran kana aw kabira, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil Jannah." Whoever build a mosque for Allah, small or big, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also promises those who frequent mosque with an accommodation in paradise, that those that frequently come to the mosque and stay in it to glorify Allah, to praise the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite the Quran, to do azkar, to do salat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to reflect, contemplate, and recapitulate, Allah will build or will provide an accommodation for them on the Day of Judgment. In a hadith reported by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man gada ila al-masjid waraha, a'adda Allahu lahu fil jannah nuzulan kama gada waraha, wa kullama gada waraha." Man gada ila al-masjid waraha, whoever goes to the mosque in the morning and in the evening, Allah will provide an accommodation for him in Jannah each time he goes in the morning and each time he goes back in the evening. It means he will have several accommodations, because the Muslim is expected to go to the mosque in the morning and in the evening every day, 5 times in a day, unless if there is reason why he will not be able to make it. So each time he goes to the mosque, Allah will provide an accommodation for him, whether in the morning or in the evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the maintenance of mosque a duty that only true believers can perform. Only true believers can maintain Allah's house. He also promises to make them his neighbors on the Day of Judgment. Those who maintain Allah's house will become Allah's neighbor on the Day of Qiyamah. In the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innama ya'muru masajid Allahi man amana billahi wal yawmi al-akhiri wa aqama as-salata wa ata az-zakata wa lam yakhsha illa Allah fa asa ulaika an yakunu min al-muhtadin." Those that maintain mosques of Allah, the mosques of Allah are only maintained by those who truly believe in Allah and the Last Day, and establish prayer, and give zakah, and don't fear anything except Allah. These are the people who will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith that Al-Harith reported, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah yunadi yawm al-qiyamah, ayna jirani, ayna jirani, fataqulu al-malaikatu rabbana man yanbaghi lahu an yujawirat, fayaqulu ayna ummaru al-masajid." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will call on the Day of Qiyamah, "Where are my neighbors? Where are my neighbors?" twice. The angels will say, "Oh our Lord, who can be your neighbor? Who can be your neighbor?" None is qualified to be your neighbor.
Fayaqul, then Allah will say, Aina ummarul masajidi, where are those who maintain, where are the people who maintain mosques?
They are Allah's neighbor on the day of judgment.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam orders that mosques should be kept and informs the ummah that clean mosques attract a lot of reward.
Al-Imam Ahmad reported a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu said, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam an nattakhidha al-masajid fi diyarina wa amarana an nunazzifaha.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us
to build or to have a mosque in our residence,
in a group of residences, maybe a street or a small community, or an estate,
there should be a mosque.
Unless, of course, if there are other mosques very close to it, then there will be no need for unnecessary duplication of mosques. More so that the ummah is in need of many other things, not only mosque. In fact, as it has been said, it is better to build those that will pray than to build a place for prayer.
Gina masallata yafi gina masallati.
But each has its own merit in Islam.
However, to have proliferation of mosques everywhere, pockets of mosques everywhere, within a street you see 3, 4, 5 mosques. Almost every big house you find a mosque. That is not commendable. It is not recommended.
But based on need, there should be sufficient number of mosques for the Muslims.
So mosques are to be provided for and should be kept.
وَأَمَرَنَا أَن نَظِّفَهَا.
He also ordered us to maintain it, to keep it, to purify it, to clean it all the time.
Also Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi reported a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُرِبَتْ عَلَيَّ أُجُورُ أُمَّتِي حَتَّى الْقَذَاتِ يُخْرِجُهَا الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ.
Rewards of my people, the rewards of my people, of my ummah, were brought to me, were assembled before me, were shown to me. All the rewards of my ummah were shown to me.
And I saw that included in the rewards of my people was the reward of a man who sees death in the mosque and remove it or clean it. He finds a death, whether in form of maybe something, an object, or papers, squeezed papers, or sand, or more serious things, or death that by nature
human beings detest. And he removed it from the mosque that attracted a lot of rewards in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed to the Ummah that the rewards of his people were shown to him, including the reward of a man who has found a dead in the mosque and decide to clean it or remove it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also forbids bringing into it any form of undesirable smell or using it not for what it is meant for. In a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أكل من هذه الشجرة المنتنة فلا يقربن مسجدنا فإن الملائكة تتأذى مما يتأذى منه الإنس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, whoever eats from this undesirable tree, referring to garlic, as important as garlic to the health of human beings, because of its bad smell, bad odor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade Muslims from eating it raw and then coming to the mosque to pray in congregation. If one must eat it for whatever reason, then one must eat it in a time when at least there will be long period between the time of eating it and the time of coming to the mosque for prayer, like the last thing to be taken at night or the first thing to be taken after subi prayer. At least between subi prayer and dhuhr prayer you have roughly 6 hours roughly. So by that time the odor will disappear. Also, if one eats it as the last thing before going to bed, at least that will be 5 to 6 hours before subi prayer. Of course, depending on when one decides to go to bed. The important point here is that it is even not allowed for a Muslim to eat garlic and then come to the mosque, especially where it is raw eating, meaning eating with chewing, as some people do, not swallowing completely. But even swallowing, provided that odor is still there, then if one comes to the mosque, one should pray outside. The issue of joining the roast has actually, he has been relieved of that. You should pray outside, but not to come in to disturb people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even the angels feel uncomfortable with what discomfort mankind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in a hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَاعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتُكَ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يُنْشِدْ فِي ضَالَّ فَقُولُوا لَا رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ ضَالَّتَكَ. If you see anybody selling or buying in the mosque, tell me, may Allah not put barakah, may Allah take away the blessing of your transaction. And if you hear anybody or you see anybody seeking or announcing this lost property,
talking about his lost property. Then say, may Allah not return it to you. This hadith is very clear in its message. And the message is, because of the importance of mosque in Islam, mosques are not to be used for purposes other than what they are meant for. According to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mosques are built to serve as places of worship, remembrance of Allah. Places of worship and remembrance of Allah. Anything that is acceptable in the Sharia could form part of Allah's remembrance. So if you discuss issues concerning the welfare of people, it is still Allah's remembrance. If you discuss issues of knowledge, you are remembering Allah. If you discuss moral issues, social issues, how the Ummah will be reformed, it's all part of Dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mosques are meant for prayers and remembrance of Allah. Anything other than that is not supposed to be done in the mosque. So to sell or to buy in the mosque is not one of the purposes for which mosque is built. Also, to tell people that you have lost something, whoever sees it should please return it back to you. That is also not the intention, not one of the purposes for which mosques are built. However, you can talk about something and tell them if they want it, they should go out. For example, we have cassettes. We have recorded this lecture. The cassettes are available. So whoever needs it can meet us in the office or in the shop or somewhere, or can meet us outside. That is allowed. Or somebody has misplaced an item, maybe key, phone or anything, and it has brought to us, it has been brought to us. So if you know you are the owner, you can come and claim it. There is no problem, because that one you are only telling them that it has been found. But for you to come and seek for it in the mosque, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people should pray that you don't even find it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes its protection and defense a duty upon him, a duty upon himself, and then the believers. Because Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 40, وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using some to defend others, synagogues, churches, temples, and mosques in which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, will they have been demolished and destroyed. So but Allah in His infinite mercy and His own wisdom decided that some people will defend others, and for that protection that some give to others, places of worship are also self-defended and protected. Sawami, synagogue, beer, churches, salawat, Jewish temples, masajid, Muslim mosques. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined these four together. That is why in the beginning, or at the beginning I said, Islam is not just about protecting or talking about defending mosques, I mean mosques and churches, but all places of worship. لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا.
This is to show us that mosque is an important place in the life of a Muslim, and its role in developing Muslim societies cannot be overemphasized. There is no amount of lecture that one will give on the role of mosque and its importance in Muslim societies that one will be said to have exhausted that particular topic.
That is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said regarding the importance of mosque and the role it plays in a Muslim society, that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and those that followed them, mosques are the center for all Islamic activities. They serve as places where congregations are established, but daily prayers and Friday prayers. They serve as a seat of power where administration is actually conducted, where delegations from other countries are received by the officials of government, of an Islamic government. They serve as the ministry for finance, economic planning, political activities, women and youth development, name it, everything, you find it in the mosque. In addition to it being the center of learning, where people with different areas of expertise will converge to learn or to teach others. Islam is remarkable for its explicit precepts favoring cultural and tolerating religious pluralism. It's only Islam that has a number or numerous provisions in the Quran and in the Sunnah that point to its favoring cultural pluralism and tolerating religious pluralism. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرَعَةً وَمِنْ هَذَا. For each community, we have provided for them their ways of living in line with divine guidance. That is Shir'a or Sharia, their Sharia. So the people that lived before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ had their own Sharia brought to them by their prophets, right from the time of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And their way of life, Minhaj. And therefore, even today, we find non-Muslims having their own way of doing things, their own way of life. Although, with the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the first revelation that was given to him, all other ways of living have been abolished and abrogated. ومن يبتغي غير الاسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الاخره من الخاسرين. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms in this verse that communities, followers of different religions, have their own ways of doing things. Different ways of doing things. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kafirun, verse 109, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. You have your own religion, I have my own religion. You are onto your religion, I am onto mine. In Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. We have created you from a male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. I made you into شُعُوبًا, continents, وَقَبَائِلَ, and tribes. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most exalted amongst you in the sight of Allah is the one who fears Allah most. This is to show how Islam favors cultural pluralism or cultural differences and tolerate religious pluralism. In line with Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 13, Islam requires Muslims to tolerate one another and to live peacefully with adherence of other faiths based on principles of equity and justice. Islam also guarantees the protection of non-Muslims who reside in Muslim societies. It teaches that their right to worship according to their choice be respected, though continuous effort should be made to call them to Islam with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Islam has guaranteed the protection of non-Muslims who choose to reside in Muslim societies. It also teaches that their right to worship according to their choice be respected, although Muslims are enjoined to continuously make efforts in calling them to Islam with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Also, Islam orders that their houses of worship, monasteries, churches, synagogues, temples, etc., are not to be demolished if already in existence in the outskirts of a land that was developed and settled by Muslims. Rather, they should be defended and protected. Here, scholars try to differentiate between three types of Muslim lands. Muslim lands are of three types, or Muslim societies are of three types. One, a land that was started, developed, and occupied by Muslims. This kind of land, places of worship for non-Muslims, are not to be allowed. However, if before the coming of Muslims to develop and occupy such land, there exist in the outskirts of that place pockets of settlements belonging to non-Muslims, and they already have their place of worship, even with the fact that Muslims are now the owners of that land by way of developing it, occupying it, settling in it. Those places of worship belonging to non-Muslims are not to be demolished. Rather, they are to be defended. The second type of Muslim society is a land where non-Muslims develop, but was conquered by Muslims through war. But non-Muslims were not expelled, but allowed to stay in. The third type of Muslim society is where a land belonging originally to non-Muslims come under the leadership or rulership of Muslims by way of peaceful negotiations and agreements. This land is also called Muslim land because it has come under the control of Muslims. But it was not through war, but through peaceful negotiations and agreements. These are the three types of Muslim society. So scholars of Islam have tried to distinguish between these three different Muslim societies, different three Muslim Muslim societies, in terms of what happened to places of worship belonging to non-Muslims. Starting with the first category of Muslim society, that is a land that was discovered, developed, occupied, and settled by Muslims, and is under the ownership and control of Muslims. This is the first type of Muslim society. In this kind of society, new churches are not to be allowed. New temples or synagogues are not to be allowed. But where they exist, before Muslims come to that place to develop it, as a result of the occupation of non-Muslims in the outskirts of that place, then such places of worship belonging to non-Muslims are not to be tampered with. They are to be allowed, they are to be protected, and they are to be defended. In lands which Muslims conquered through war and settled in them, all existing places of worship are to be protected and not demolished, irrespective of where they are located. In the first one, they will only be allowed if they are located in the outskirts, outside the town. But in the second category, irrespective of where they are located, they should be allowed, they should be preserved, they should be protected, they should be defended, and they should not be demolished. In lands which Muslims conquered through peaceful negotiations with non-Muslims and settled in them, like the case of Jerusalem, existing places of worship for non-Muslims are to be defended, and new ones are to be allowed. All existing places of worship for non-Muslims are to be defended and protected, and new ones are to be allowed. The basis for protection of places of worship belonging to non-Muslims is found in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj verse 40, where Allah says, walawla, we have quoted the verse earlier, walawla dafu Allahi naasa ba'dahum biba'din lahuddimat sawami'u wa bi'am wa salawatu wa masajidu yudhkaru fiha ismu Allahi kathira. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirm that
defending and protecting places of worship belonging to non-Muslims is a duty upon Muslims. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi in his Al-Jami' li-Ahkam al-Quran reported from Ibn Khuwaizir Manjar al-Maliki that Ibn Khuwaizir said تضمنت هذه الآية المنع من عدم كنائس أهل الذمة وبيئهم وبيوت نيرانهم. According to Ibn Khuwaizir Mandar, this verse, ولو لا دفق الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدم صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا. This verse contains prohibition of demolishing churches belonging to non-Muslims who reside in Muslim lands. And there are synagogues, there are churches, there are synagogues and other places of worship. Meaning, by this verse, the places of worship belonging to non-Muslims who reside in Muslim lands or Muslim societies are not only to be preserved or allowed but also defended. That is why commenting on the verse, Al-Hasan al-Basri, the great Tabi'i, Rahimahullah ta'ala, said, as quoted by Al-Jassar in his tafsir, يُدْفَوْ أَنْ هَدْمِ مُسَلَّيَاتِ أَهْلِ الذِّمَّةِ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Muslims are to be ordered or required to go and defend places of worship belonging to non-Muslims who reside in Muslim lands when there is potential or threat of attack going their way. So in the face of attack, Muslims, believers, are to go and defend, protect, and preserve places of worship belonging to non-Muslims. Shedding light on the verse, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala also said, وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ يَدْفَوُ عَنْ مُتَعَبَّدَاتِهِ الَّتِي أُذْكِرُوا عَلَيْهَا شَرْعًا وَقَدَرًا فَهُوَ يُحِبُّ الدَّفْعَ عَنْهَا وَإِنْ كَانَ يُبْغِضُهَا كَمَا يُحِبُّ الدَّفْعَ عَنْ أَرْبَابِهَا وَإِنْ كَانَ يُبْغِضُهُ. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah رحمه الله تعالى in his Ahkam Ahl al-Dhimma said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that he defend places of worship belonging to non-Muslims. Even though he detests what is being practiced inside them. Just as he loves to defend non-Muslims themselves, even though he detests them for their disbelief or because of their disbelief. So we can see from this statement by Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah that defending and protecting places of worship belonging to non-Muslims is a duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon himself, the exalted. And also a duty placed on the believers in their entirety. And that is why Al-Hasan al-Basri earlier said, يُدْفَوْ أَنْ هَدَمِ مُسَلَّيَاتِ أَهْلِ الذِّمَّةِ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If anybody, or if there is a threat, if there is threat to their place of worship, then Muslims should defend to defend, to protect, to safeguard those places of worship belonging to non-Muslims, provided they are living in Muslim societies. And on his part, Ibn al-Qayyim reiterated the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself loves that their place of worship be defended, be protected, even though he detests what is being done in those places. Because they are committing shirk, yet Allah loves that their places of worship be defended. Just as he loves that unbelievers or non-Muslims be defended and protected, even though he hates them for or due to their disbelief. After defeating the Romans and neutralizing their threat, Sayyidina Umar Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote to the Christians in Jerusalem, promising them that their lives, property, houses of worship, religious icons, and entire communities will be protected by the Muslims. In a famous letter written to them, as contained in At-Tarikh of Al-Imam al-Tabari, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote to the Christians in Jerusalem saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, هذا ما أعطى عبد الله عمر عمر أمير المؤمنين أهل إليه من الأمان أعطاهم أمانا لأنفسهم وأموالهم ولكنائسهم وصلبانهم وسقيمها وبريئها وسائر ملتها أنه لا تسكن كنائسهم ولا تهدم ولا ينتقم ولا ينتقص منها ولا من حيزها ولا من حيزها ولا من صليبهم ولا من شيء من أموالهم ولا يكرهون على دينهم ولا يضار أحد منهم. Umar ibn al-Khattab wrote to the Christians of Jerusalem during his reign, saying, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. This is the promise that the servant of Allah, Umar, the commander of the believers, made to the people of Ilayah, Jerusalem. With regard to their security and safety, Umar, the commander of the believers, has given them or promised safety and security for them, that for their life, their wealth, their places of worship, their religious icon, the entire community, both the sick and the healthy, that their place of worship will not be confiscated from them. It will not be demolished. It will not be reduced. And nothing that is inside it will be taken away from them. Not even their crucifixes. Nothing from their wealth. And they will not be coerced to leave their religion. And none of them will be maltreated. This is the promise that Umar ibn al-Khattab get to the Christians in Jerusalem. Throughout the ages of caliphate and rulership, Muslims have accommodated members of other faiths and accorded them many rights and privileges under Muslim society. Even after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the time of the caliphs or khulafa, Christian and Jewish communities flourished for 800 years in Muslim Andalusia, that's the former Spain, the present Spain, with presence of tens of cathedrals, churches, as well as synagogues. Their churches, their synagogues, their cathedrals were never tampered with, never attacked, never demolished. Instead, they were safeguarded, they were defended, and they were protected. In Greece, Christianity peacefully survived 500 years of Turkish rule under Muslim leaders, with their places of worship protected. Though what they practiced was detested, yet their places of worship was protected and defended. In non-Muslim societies, however, Muslims had tolerated adherents of other religions and lived peacefully with them based on certain facts, either as majority or as minority. Like the case in Nigeria. Nigeria, even if for the sake of argument, we said the northern part of Nigeria is a Muslim society, we know in reality and from constitutional provisions that we cannot say it's a Muslim society. But it is a region dominated by Muslims. Just like Southeast and South-South are regions dominated by non-Muslims. Southwest is a region dominated by Muslims. So the entire North, including North Central, the so-called Middle Belt, is being occupied or dominated by mostly Muslims. Because if you take North Central, even if you pull out Abuja, since it is serving as a capital, Niger State, Muslim majority, Kogi State, Muslim majority, Fara State, Muslim majority, Nasarawa State, Muslim majority, Plateau State, even if for the sake of argument, we didn't say it is a Muslim majority, it is half-half. From all statistics, all reliable figures and statistics, it is half-half. But let's assume we surrender it as Muslim minority, as they always claim and we want us to say. Bauchi is in Northeast. Okay, Benue, Muslim minority. So of the six states, Niger, Kwara, Kogi, Nasarawa, Benue, and Plateau, six states, only one state, we can agree and surrender without any argument that Muslims are minority. For Plateau, we will disagree, we will debate it. But let's assume, for now, we surrender. So the remaining four states, and we know the population of Niger, Kwara, Kogi, and Nasarawa, the population put together is more than twice the population in the other two states. So even though we can say the North is largely a Muslim society, but we know by constitutional provision, we cannot say it is a Muslim society, but it is predominantly Muslim. But in Southeast and South, it's predominantly non-Muslim. Muslims are minority. That one, we have no argument. We cannot argue. Now, in some societies, where we cannot say they are Muslim societies, historically,
Muslims had tolerated adherents of other religions and had lived peacefully with them based on certain agreements. In such societies, places of worship are to be protected by both Muslims and non-Muslims from demolition and desecration as a mark of respect for one another and in line with divine dictates. Because according to divine guidance of the Muslims, i.e. the Quran, those places of worship located in non-Muslim societies are also to be respected and protected and not to be desecrated or demolished. The same thing for mosques. They are to be protected, exalted, they are to be protected and respected and not to be demolished or desecrated. It has been decreed, no doubt, that not everybody will believe in Allah or accept Islam as his religion. Allah has made this very clear to us. He has made it clear to us in Surah Hud, verse 118 to 119. Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. If Allah had willed, He would have made people united upon one religion. United upon one religion. But they will not desist disunited except those upon whom Allah showed His mercy. That is the essence of it. Their creation. وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. That is the essence of their creation. To enjoy the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has given them freedom to choose between right and wrong, between evil and righteousness, and righteousness or virtue, between good and bad, between belief and disbelief. And that is why Allah says in Surah Al-Tadabbur, verse 2, هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that created you. Amongst you, there are disbelievers, and amongst you are believers. Thus Allah says in another place, وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is part of the teaching of Islam. Thus, while Muslims are required to call others to Islam with wisdom and beautiful preaching, they are made to understand that their duty is to spread the message, while guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ. That's just what you are asked to convey, to spread the message. As for guidance, that is the exclusive prism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides whom He wishes and allow whom He wishes to go astray. So ours as Muslims is to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Udu ila sabili rabbika bilhikmati وَالْمَوْئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And then also engage them in dialogue. Engage them in interfaith dialogue with that which is good. And that which is good is also called positive dialogue. So ours is to call them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and beautiful preaching and engage them
in positive interfaith dialogue. This is our responsibility as Muslims. Therefore, notwithstanding the evil treatment made to mosques and other Islamic centers during the years of crusade and the action of many non-Muslims towards Islam and Muslims in especially non-Muslim society, the ruling regarding protection of places of worship belonging to non-Muslims still applies. One is not to say that because of what happened in the past, because of XYZ, we will not protect, we will not respect, we will demolish, we will vandalize, we will desecrate their place of worship. This is not allowed in Islam. In fact, to speak evil of those places of worship is not even allowed, because if you speak evil of them, they will in turn speak evil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has forbidden us from speaking evil of their false gods, lest they speak evil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of ignorance. Because of that, Muslims are expected not to actually tamper or to desecrate their place of worship, lest they desecrate the actual houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we said are mosques that are built on the surface of this earth. Another important thing is, in Islam, protecting places of worship for non-Muslims does not mean a Muslim accepts the validity of what is being practiced in such places. Because sometimes some of our brothers and sisters find it difficult to appreciate the fact that Islam enjoins us to protect, to defend places of worship belonging to non-Muslims. Some of them think that making statements like this, holding a lecture, or making a presentation on an issue like this is like trying to say you don't have problems with the kind of practice that is being done or what is being practiced in such places. But that is not what it means. All that it means is you are working with divine guidance. That in Islam, yes, protection of those places of worship has been enjoined, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it, or has actually taken it upon himself as a duty to use men in defending and protecting these places of worship. Despite the fact that apart from the mosque, any other place of worship, you find a lot of shirk going on there. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted those places preserved for wisdom, for reasons that are known to him. Protecting places of worship for non-Muslims does not also suggest in any way compromise of one's religion. Some people may think that if you talk about protection of places of worship for non-Muslims, you are already compromised. That you are compromising your iman, you are compromising your aqidah, you are compromising your tawheed, you are compromising everything that is known with you as an important aspect of iman or Islam. In actual sense, that is not correct. Because whoever does not make effort to respect and defend or protect places of worship belonging to non-Muslims, especially in Muslim society, then such a person will actually be committing sin and may eventually end the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from earning his wrath, and may his subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from invoking his anger on ourselves. Brothers and sisters in Islam, places of worship are so important in Islam that they are given special position. For Muslims,
our place of worship is the mosque. Mosques occupy a center stage in the development of humanity, spiritually, theologically, politically, socially, and morally. It also contributes in no small measure in serving as an important center for the development of human intellect and for education of Muslims in terms of the Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Fatwa, and other activities that Muslims always carry out in order to have self-fulfillment, to get nearness to Allah, to also develop their souls, and to reform the society. It is therefore important that we, as Muslims, especially the educated, the so-called elite, the elite in court, should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we do, and also try to develop the character of peaceful coexistence with adherents of other faiths, knowing fully that we cannot impose Islam on them, we can also not force them to live where they are joining us. In this case, it is only beautiful preaching with wisdom that will actually go a long way in convincing or making non-Muslims see the light, see reasons that will make them, compelling reasons that will make them enter Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide us. May He in His infinite mercy continue to shower His blessings and mercy on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our acts of ibadah and reward us bountifully for it. May Allah increase us in knowledge and understanding of His religion. May He bless our knowledge and make it a proof for us and not proof against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wherewithal to practice our knowledge so that it will be beneficial to ourselves, to our immediate family, and to members of our societies immensely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to help us. With this, I say, wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
No.